and welcome to Faces of CI, Conversations in Contact. My name is Aaliyah, and we're here on unceded Coast Salish territory in Salt Spring Island for Contact Festival. And today I'm joined by Leilani Weiss. Would you like to introduce yourself, including where you're from, and a bit about your origins, what first sparked you to come into contact?
Well, my name is Leilani Weiss. I was born in Chile. And I moved when I was 20 away from Chile, and I went to Mexico. And after almost 4 years living in the jungle of the Pacific coast, I went to San Miguel de Allende, where I saw this contact dance class sign. And I went to this first class. I didn't know what contact was. I just knew I liked dancing, and I wanted to see what that could be. And I entered this beautiful dance space in the Bellas Artes Fine Arts School of San Miguel de Allende, and there was this huge guy just diving into the floor like he was doing in water. And that was my first meeting. He was Martin Kio, and I was just right away engaged in this thing that my body didn't know and I didn't have an idea of it, but it just felt very wild. And something in me resonated with that.
Yeah, and I know you have a connection. Martin came in, he's visited here. He's been a big part of the Salt Spring scene in Pacific Northwest, as well as in Mexico and worldwide.
Yes.
His book, Dancing Deeper Still. And he told some story, like you came up to America at some point, I believe, with him.
Yes. What happened, and I think I was very lucky, because in that first class that everybody was telling him not to start because May is a month that everybody leaves San Miguel. And in that class, he insisted on beginning in May. It was in May of 97 or 98. A group of people that a base group of people that was in that classroom kept going, and we're still researching the form. I'm talking about Dani Schwartz, Nancy Franco in Colombia, and other people that kept going with contact from that experience. And we didn't only go to the classes, we went right away into labbing with him, and we had actually 5 days a week labs in the mornings. He introduced us also to authentic movement, and very fast we were performing, doing every 15 days this we call the Orden de los Suspiros, this group of performance. And it was a very researching mode, and I'm deeply thankful for that. And it really turned on my curiosity, and not what I understood was that there was a frame that contained a research, but it was about my own movement inside with others. And it wasn't the information wasn't only to be looked outside, it was really to be looked inside. And I have a great sense of gratitude for that. Then he was always whispering into my ears like, oh, there's a festival in California, you should go there. And I hitchhiked there. I didn't have no money to study, so I did hitchhike and work exchange for most of my studying. I did a lot of the Berkeley Festival, and then workshops, 3 week long with Ray and Martin. I did that various times, always hitchhiking all the way up to the States and go back to Mexico. And what happened also is that quite fast Martin was going into his teaching tours outside of San Miguel, and we stayed without teachers, so we started inviting some people to come. But then also we started teaching the weekly classes, then he was not around. And I remember one day I came to him and I said, what are we going to do when you're not here? And he said, teach? And I said, what are we going to teach? We don't know. And he said, teach what you don't know so you will learn it. So without any pretension, we started teaching. It was a lot of co-teaching. In this group, we would do co-teaching. And actually, very fast, it happened to me that we will prepare classes, obviously very like, oh, we're going to do that, and step two and step three. And then something in me was just observing the class and noticing, oh, no, we cannot go there. We should do this first. So I think that was an incredible training. And it came from the same place that dance comes from, that inquiring place, listening, observing the space, seeing what would support the dance in some way. Mm-hmm. So that was my beginning over 26 years ago.
Wow, amazing. Are you still involved in this roots in Mexico? I know that you've also gone to Italy Contact Fest. I don't actually know where your home is outside of here.
Yes, well, after being studying here, Martin whispered in my ear again, you should go to Europe and see what Contact is like there. So with my friend Danny Schwartz, we traveled there and we arrived to Barcelona, where now I live there right now. But for various years, I lived in Italy, over 15 years. And there's where I think it was the great development of my work. I kept organizing things because there wasn't really the sense of a community in Italy, and I wanted to support that. And there was some of isolated realities. So I start inviting teachers from Italy and then some teachers from outside. And I invited Martin many times to come and teach there. And I started to teach myself there, but also traveling in Europe. And this is my work currently. That's what I do for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I'm very lucky that I get to keep dancing, keep researching, and meet great people, and traveling around and popping into communities like now here in this beautiful place, offering what I can offer and what can support the dance for each person. What can they take? That's my question. What can I offer so that supports their dancing, their exploration?
It's different in each community. You go and you add into what is there, but you have to go and see, and then you know what is available there. So for you, you've been sharing your workshop with us for 4 days, and we're going through what is like Contact Essentials, but I see something different in the way that you formulate your classes, but it's still like we've gone through like falling and the floor work and the spirals and all these things that are very essential. Do you want to share a bit about, you've talked about like being a multi-directional being and like some of your topics in the classes. So,
a question I bring with me for many years already is, what kind of body and mind do I need to prepare to practice contact? And I'm sure, like, I know for myself, with different practices, I have another kind of body. And the body I like, and I think I teach very personal. I teach what I like, the dance I like. So I aim for having a multidirectional body that is available. And I talk about the body and the mind because I also need to be in my mind in an available place to be ready for the dance, where it takes me. And sometimes I feel like I'm there to support what's happening. So I need to I like to imagine I can dance in the edge of what is possible and what is impossible. And I like to be in that edge. So what is possible is all my, how my body, the pathways that it knows, but I always go a little bit to that place of like, oh, what if I keep going here and it might be a place that it seems impossible. And sometimes I just find myself in places where I go like, wow, I have never done that.
Yeah.
yeah. So this is what I would like to offer. So obviously in that I recall a lot of my teachers. I recall a lot of Martin's teaching. Then he was and still is one of my mentors. What is in the root of the form? Then in the last years traveling around, I have perceived a lot of what I call a little bit of an improvised choreography of the contact moves. And then I start observing and talking with some colleagues, and my perception is that something of the roots of it, or how I understand them, it got lost. Mm-hmm. And maybe because I'm in this middle generation place, I feel it's part of my responsibility also to pass the information from that source that I got through many, many wonderful teachers and non-teachers, also friends that we just got into the studio to lab. We did lots of labbing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You've also shared about being, what is it, the dancer superpowers. Can you share more about them? I want to know. And is this contact dance specifically or just dancers? What are our superpowers?
I think we can, I have the perception that I stretch time through movement, that I can ralentate. Sometimes I feel like I'm totally in the matrix movement. I can float and I can really stretch my body with counterbalancing, or even in a fall, I can just like make the moment so much longer. And maybe because I'm more in the details of what is happening, so one pathway, if I'm in the detail of it, has so many different little bits to it. And when I'm fully in the taste of it, everything just takes so long. And I feel I can be very fast, actually. I mean, different moments of the dance have different speeds. A fall has a different speed than a weight exchange in another way. So it's like, how can I tune to that moment and expand it the most I can? So in that, I think also I see bodies moving, and I see how we actually move the space. We can modify the space, and that is another superpower. So I joke a little bit with this, but I have a series of exercises I call the superpowers of the dancers. We can really stretch time. We can dance with the past and the future, and lengthen the present moment. So I do a series of, you know, exercises or games sometimes where we experience this.
It sounds like so much fun, and it's one of the beauties. It's been a more interesting thing I found to work with time and space in the last year, observing this in contact. I think there was a bit of this as well in Andrew's material beforehand too. So yeah, would you like to share as well about kind of care and prevention in the body? There's some things that you shared in class, just even with tucking the chin and things with our hips. And I'm noticing in my own body from dancing that these are the common injuries. And yes. Do you have any tips for dancers?
I always try to go through the easiest pathway. Mm-hmm. So I would really recommend, or highly recommend, find the easy pathways. Be a little lazy in that. Then sometimes also following sensation, I think it's the cue. Then when I go through my ideas, my brain thinks things that are not the reality of what is being sensed. And in this aiming to have an available body, for me, I got to understand, or I'm still researching. It's not that I know, it's more that it's my current pathway. It has a lot to do with alignment and space in the body. And being soft in the body but not collapse. Then I feel when we collapse, we lose our inner strength, that whatever holds us together. And sometimes we have this idea that, oh, in contact I just have to be relaxed. People use the word relax, and we don't have to be relaxed. We have to be soft, open, available, but aligned. And I see many times people put themselves in positions, also because the body holds tensions and habits, and then we hurt ourselves. I have hurt myself in various times, and maybe through that I have been learning. Softening the body, the joints, like the hip joint, this crease in the joint, and like really find that quality of easily bending there, so it's not overstretched and then the back gets hard. So it's like also this, how we organically move and organize. So I try to follow that, and it's in a very internal experience, and then I share with people. And I spend a lot of time observing. Many times when I'm giving classes, I observe a lot how the bodies are moving, and then I give a feedback, a clear feedback, where, mm-hmm. where, how, what would be better, or what I think it would be better.
Yeah, you've even said small things of like, think of the eyes as the last of your vertebrae in the spine, and you demoed it, and it was so beautiful.
This is Martin's image. I learned that from him, and yeah, well, he has influenced a lot my work for sure. And then I do my adaptations and my interpretations of things. But this is one of his images, and it's so organic. As soon as you think that your head is dancing, with the rest of the body.
It's all these subtle things, but it helps to understand the organization of the body. And if there's just something slightly that are all these habits that we have in our body, it shifts the whole thing once you know.
Yes,
it's been helpful, like sitting in and observing this with you. And I think even I've learned a lot in sitting and watching jams of how people are interacting in this. This is a lot of information to go through, like watching the body.
We'll be back soon with our latest guest. For now, I wanted to share a dance game oracle deck, that's right, that I've created and invented called Fortune Score. So what is Fortune Score? It's a deck created for you to dig deeper into the practice of contact improv. And as a self-professed tarot and contact enthusiast, I blended the two to be used as an educational tool for facilitators and contact improv fans. This game has been played many times in Bali at jams, so much so that one of my students asked me to make it into a deck, and I have, and it's received a lot of positive reception. So it's effective to be played at a round robin, a festival, or a contact jam, or you can also pull cards as you would for an everyday oracle deck and take the theme with you as you would move through the world. This is a deck of scores. As you may or may not know, in improvised dance, we often use a dance score, which is the suggestion for you to keep in mind for yourself in the dance. Each card offers you a fortune, like you'd pull from a fortune cookie. And these are prompts I've gathered from a variety of places, mindfulness, 80 sci-fi books, teachers and trainings I've had, and a lot of them I've honestly just made up. So, a fun story behind the deck. For some history and context, Paxton held some of the first performances in contact improvisation in New York City, where they danced for 5 hours a day for a week at John Weber Gallery, and audiences were streaming in and out, seeing this performance of what would become contact improvisation. And in preparation, Steve went to Chinatown and had fortune cookies made with an invitation inside. Dancers went around handing the cookies to people on the streets of New York. And the fortune said, come to John Weber Gallery for contact improvisations. So this is my ode to that sense of humor, a tongue-in-cheek homage to the origins of CI. And it's my invitation for you to come and join the mystery of the dance. A limited run of decks have been printed. You can grab your deck of fortune score online. There's a link in the show notes to our Instagram at facesofci, and you'll find out where to buy them there. Grab yours today and And we're going to come back to our episode with our latest guest right about now.
We're going to take a short break just to talk about some exciting new projects coming out. So we have Contact Body. This is a online contact improvisation course I've been working on for many months. It's based off of the beginner's workshop I've been teaching in Ubud. It's split into two segments. So Solo Body is all about solo improvisation. There's Bartini with fundamentals and floor work and somatic practices, and it's really about tuning inwards to your own body. And then Two Bodies is about learning contact improvisation partner work. So these are two courses that are completely self-paced and available to purchase online for you to learn from home, the beginning foundations about contact improv. So if that's something that's curious to you, the full details are on contactbody.ca, because I'm Canadian. And you can learn all about that, and there's a promo video. And also, please check us out at Faces of CI on Instagram for lots of inspiration and more about our interviewees.
Yeah, and you've also spoken to this quality of unlearning patterns and then also like re-remembering in a way. Can you speak to more of this quality of re-remembering what the body knows?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we organically and in our development, it's the natural pathways, and then our society and the culture we're in changes that. And it depends on the culture. Then, for example, my culture is sitting in chairs. Like if you go to India, they're sitting on the floor. So yeah. The pattern is different. Nowadays, there's so much the eyes focusing in a screen. So the frame of vision really goes narrow. And then there's a tension in the back and in the nervous system. And then I see a lot of people with neck problems. And I think the dance space is a great place to remember the animal that we are also. That is like, now we can see far away. In our usual life, and we live in cities, we have like a building right in front of us. So for me, the dance space gives me this empty, neutral place where I can practice things and remember like the development we do when we grow up, and going back to that, all this spiraling, a baby, they go into their belly and then they turn around their head and their head just flips them around. So it's, they are quite natural in us. And I feel it's the, I believe it's the practice. We need to keep practicing them in the body so we don't get stiff and lock and be directional, front a little bit of sides and very very small back. So I think this opportunity in this form, I think it's also very healing to the body and to the mind and to the soul, because it keeps us alive in sensibility and touch. And I like, sometimes I'm dancing and I feel my organs, and I wonder how many beings on the planet actually feel their organs. So I just think it's a great opportunity, and I want to keep dancing still for a long time. So I need to keep moving my body in the way I believe it keeps it alive. I have this idea of a body that is breathing through all every cell, and actually it is what it's doing. Mm-hmm. We just forget about it. So if I access to that, and then my perception of every little part of myself is awake, I'm sure I'm healing myself in some ways. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then the dance is so much more fun when we are more available to go in various places.
I love this quality you're saying, like this open, available, aligned person. How can we take this through life, not just through dance, you know?
And also I think it has to do with our creative being, when we are aligned and awake. So I have to turn on something inside of my warm-up and then my pathway through the class or the jam or whatever, the lab. So so where do I put myself inside of me where I can have access to be the creative being I am? See, rather than like sometimes if I go too relaxed and too soft and I dive too deep into the sensation, then I'm losing the world around. So that usually is my beginning. I go really deep and I start moving from that place, and then I need to open my eyes and I need to notice what I'm seeing. Then there's inspiration, the beauty of other people, the touch of other people, everything. So
yeah, letting it in again.
Letting myself being affected by the world around me, I think.
To be affected.
Yes, yeah. I like to be affected physically.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really energetically. I am also energetic, but I want the physics of the dance, gravity, and that's why maybe I'm so in love with the falling. Then my body just organizes and I can just observe it. I'm like, wow. Sometimes it's like, wow. It's such a fantastic body to be in.
Do you have any challenges as a dancer or as a teacher that you find in contact?
Keep dancing. It's one, to keep the dance alive. Even when sometimes it's like, oh, I'm tired. How do I turn on that place of keep falling in love with the dance and keep the curiosity going? For me, I really try to be aware in myself to not think I know. I think the day I believe I know, I will stop dancing. It's more, of course, there's some things I have more experience, but I don't think I really know something. It's like, oh, I'm in this place where I'm transforming, my body's transforming throughout time, you know? So it's like, how do I keep that freshness and that aim to keep learning? I think that's the challenge when sometimes I find myself so much in the teacher place. I don't want to be a teacher that brings the truth. I want to be a teacher that offers pathways for people to open what they can understand about their body. And of course, I'm quite specific about technique. I have some very specific things. I can be very disciplined in that. But not trying to force, it's more like, try this, open this, maybe that works for you. So if I aim for some, I love when I see the sparkle in people's eyes because they have found something for their dancing. And it's not about me, it's about them. So, yeah.
That's the magical part in teaching, is watching people like have something for within their mind open up. Ah, what is this? And I've fallen in love with contact. Yes. Okay, great. Yeah. And it's always at different moments for everyone.
Yes.
So,
and that is beautiful. Such a gift. I feel very blessed. Then I get to see a lot of body moving. I get to see a lot of people throughout the years dancing, and I see how, wow, they come back to my class and I'm like, you're such a wonderful dancer, I should go to your classes. Something in that, you know. So and I keep taking classes with people. I organize the Italian festival with some other people, and I'm always the question, who do I want to take classes with? Also, they're my gifts also.
Constant inquiry. I also want to ask, so you've got your son here. I'm wondering how he is absorbed in contact, if he dances, or how he is absorbed in the contact world and into his childhood.
If you ask him, he says he doesn't dance. But like specifically in this festival, I think he got with me a few times into the dance space, and he was really, and because sometimes the difference is sometimes it's the game click or sometimes it's the dancing click, and he got a few times into that dancing click, really sensing. And he has been questioning me a lot these days about what were you doing when that was happening, what did you say when they, what were they asking? So he's really, and he asked me the other day, so when did contact started?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, okay, I haven't told you that story. Okay, so I was telling him when and how. And so something in the curiosity, I feel now it's more his curiosity about something that he just following me around. Something this time felt like new in his approaching to the space and to others also, with the people here. Like he's really into music also, so he's always asking when there's going to be a music jam where I can play, and he's great improvising with music. He has a very, he's really aware what's happening in the space.
Yeah, I think he was playing guitar the other night. Yeah, thought that was him. Yeah, I was like, wow, amazing.
So I am very happy about being able to share this spaces with my two kids. I have a daughter, she's 20 now, and my son, he's 10. And they grew up in these environments, and I'm sure it's a gift to grow up in these environments. Then they will find their own pathway. It's not, they might not have anything to do with dance, but I just think it's a very rich place where they meet a great of wonderful people, and they have a sensing of their body. Like my son touches me, and he really has a touch where he's like sensing, and he has this thing about giving massages when he's, since he was really little, something in his perception through his touch is quite awake. Mm-hmm. But he has been dancing from the first moment he was in my belly. He has been dancing all his life.
So beautiful. What gives you the most joy in contact?
The great rides up and down the spirals in people's bodies and getting disoriented is when I get this joy in the dance, when I don't know where I am and I just see my body just so gracefully saving me from whatever is there. I love that. I love that place where I'm actually disoriented, and I just, there's this quiet place in my mind, and I can just observe. And I have to say I'm really thankful also for the form, then it gives me that place where my mind can actually stop. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very high point in perception. Mm-hmm. For me it's a practice about awareness and about being present. Mm-hmm. So I live it this way, and it has given me a great way of looking at life. It's not only in the dance place and the body, but it gives me a way of looking my surrounding and me in relationship to the world. And it's like a tool, and it has given me perceptions or ways of reading life, actually.
Very holistic and universal, and gives you another vision. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I also want to ask, so if people wanted to find out about you online, how could they find you? If you have a website, Facebook, all of this.
I have a website, Facebook, which I never open, but people can actually write me a messenger and I will answer. I'm Yeah, I don't go much into the like internet world or medias, but people find me.
Yeah.
When they really want, they find me. So yeah, there's a lot of information about what I do in the global CI global calendar. Organizers put things there, and I send people there actually. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.